Okay, hello internet family. This is Anjanette Potter, also known as Adam's Rib, and you are listening to, today is April 5th, so you're listening to part 11 of the Manosphere, out of the series The Manosphere, and you are listening to part 3 of religion's contribution to the part that religion plays in the Manosphere, and you are listening to part 3 of the topic, the Jezebel spirit. Part 3 of the Jezebel spirit. So I laid some foundational background into the whole Jezebel thing, why I think current Jezebel's teachings are racist. So in the last episode, I discussed an article where someone called Vice President Kamala Harris Jezebel. Now, I thought it was funny because I don't think it's funny that she got called a Jezebel. Let me say ironic type of funny. That the first woman of color to enter that office gets framed as Jezebel. So what I'm challenging is current teachings concerning Jezebel. Because I honestly do think, I agree with the authors of the last article that I read, and that many stereotypes, especially those that are aimed at women, and especially those that are aimed at women of color. Now, have white women been called Jezebel? Yeah, they have been, okay? White women have been labeled as Jezebel, and they have been labeled as Jezebel for the a lot of the same reasons that black women get labeled as Jezebel. But the difference when it is a woman of color is typically there's an issue of intersectionality playing out. So you have sexism, which sexism is usually the thing that's aimed at white women. But as I said before, as I continue to take this journey, so basically the way I'm labeling these teachings is these are the stuff that I didn't get a hold to the first 2 months. And some stuff like this has taken a life of its own, so it's a train that I'm going to ride until the Holy Spirit tells me to get off. So what white women get, black women get, but black women typically get worse. And the reason why black women get worse is because of the whole issue of racism. So when I discussed the notables, which is the history making black women during February, and the history making women of all colors in March, I talked about the fact that while as black women and white women, and really let's say white women and women of color, because other women in other cultures, African-American and African, Indian, Native American, anyone who, for the purposes of this post, who it isn't Caucasian, we deal with sexism, but we deal with sexism that is done through a racial lens and a racist gaze. So while white women may deal with sexism, white women don't deal with racism. And so, you know, so whatever white women get, when it comes to women of color, black women, we get it a whole lot worse. So while the white woman might be labeled bossy, castrating, emasculating, the black woman will be called a bitter black bitch, a butch, as I said before, while the white woman may deal with issues of sexism, many times when you're talking about the women's rights fight for not just women's rights, but human rights, the right to be treated like a human being, for people to practice common decency, many times many times our fights may be similar. Many times our fights may intersect or be different. For one thing, there are going to be some differences culturally. There are also going to be some differences because, depending on the white woman, they've always kind of had their men's protection to count on. So like I said, you have a couple different camps on even the Will Smith thing. You have those who felt like, oh, his behavior was atrocious. Can there be racism attached to that? Yeah. You know, he right now, you know, he stands, he's got projects that have been pushed back. And as I said in the second leg of the, well, the first leg of this, as I said in the first leg of this, one of the reasons why his stuff hasn't been completely pulled is because Will Smith is still a pretty good box office draw, even in his 50s, even after decades in the business. He's still a pretty good box office draw. For one thing, Bad Boys 4, he's such an integral part, being one of the two main characters in the movie. And the first, I remember seeing the first Bad Boys, and it was an awesome movie. It was a really good movie. And I was glad with the second one, this is gonna sound bad, but I was glad with the second one to see Gabrielle Union put in, simply because, you know, I was like, well, where is the, you know, they killed the sister off in the first one. And I like Tia Leone, so I don't have no issues with her being the one left alive, but... You know, like I said, you know, we talk about the racism in films all the time, and how easy it is to treat a black character disposable and be killed off. They talk about it in horror all the time, about especially slasher movies, the black person being able to make it past the first credit. And so we talk about that. He still has the ability to put butts in seats. He still has the ability to put asses in seats. He's still a pretty good box office draw, both him and Martin Lawrence, you know, and especially for us. They know they have a mess on their hands if they try to replace him at this point, because he's been in all five movies and played the same character. And so there are still people who will go out to the box office. You know, I will within reason. The older I get, it depends on the movie. He still has the ability to make me go and spend my money. Both him and Chris Rock both do. Okay, let me say that much too. They both do. And they're both, you know, reasonably good guys. So... anyway, so to talk about the whole Jezebel aspect. So in the last podcast, I talked about how much of what you see in the Jezebel criticisms that I put out there, how much of that kind of matches what a lot of black men are saying about Jada Pinkett Smith right now. If you listen to, oh, especially the comics. The comics, you know, one comic said the jokes write themselves. It would be lovely if the jokes didn't include references to Miss Pinkett Smith being a B-word. Okay. but anytime a woman, especially a woman of color, steps out of what a lot of very misogynistic and chauvinistic men feel as being out of her place. I remember there used to be a t-shirt in the 70s where they would say a woman's place is in the House and in the Senate. Many of y'all will get that. The House and the Senate, House of Representatives and Senate. So in Congress. In other words, you know, if you're going to tell us where our place is, and it's a play on the stereotype of a woman's place being in the home. So I'm going into that historical reference to let you know, or certain, even though it's a modern day teaching, it's a modern day teaching based on those same old tropes that label black women a certain way if we don't know our place. And I'm saying this with air quotes, our place. So where, while a white woman may be told her place is in the home, a black woman, for all intents and purposes, may be being told that her place is in the fields picking cotton, or in somebody's home, you know, taking care of their kids and cleaning up behind some person. Like, you never know where somebody's going with that when they tell you as a woman of color to know your place. Because we know what it means for white women. We're not so sure what it means for black women when you think of the places that black women have been regulated to. And the bad thing is, you know, with racism, at one point we were being regulated by white people. But in recent years, in the past few decades, and as we get closer and closer to the present time, the regulating is being done by other black people. Which is scary. It is very scary when your own men begin to practice misogynoir against you. And there's been a lot of it lately. A lot of it. And we're seeing some of it take place during the hearings with Miss Ketanji Brown Jackson. The whole issue of her being, and a lot of what you're getting is, you still got some men who think that leadership is a man's thing, that women don't belong in. And I'm not just talking about church leadership, I'm talking about leadership, just regular leadership out here in the community, out here in the world. You know, you have some people who are stuck in the past and they think that women don't belong in the boardroom, don't deserve a seat at the table, and the only way that they want to give that seat to them is if we're really to roll over on other women. So we have to be careful about the compromises that we're being asked to make. You can't eat at everybody's table, okay? We just really truly can't. I think with this podcast, I pretty much have wrapped up the whole Jezebel thing. I'm hoping that the information that I gave will make you reconsider before you label a woman a Jezebel. It is not, you know, I read out of Michael Bickle's book about the prophetic and how many people, you know, get anxious to want to put that label on women, and especially black women. And it's becoming more and more of a thing. As I said about my son, being a woman that has raised a grown man who is every bit as straight as some of these guys think they are, and, you know, allowing him, to be honest with you, allowing him to play with baby dolls. I didn't buy him any baby dolls, and even if I did, that would have been my business. But allowing him that freedom, he's really good with children. When he was living here in Columbus with us, because he has since moved to another state, he's my adventurous child, he babysat my grandson, and he would take him for the weekend. And he was really good with him. My grandson loves his uncle very much. He adores him and adores seeing him when he sees him. So he just, you know, very much loves him. He's very good. You know, hopefully that'll turn him into a very good nurturing father when he has had children of his own. He's 33 now. And so he turned out to be very good with children. He's very good, you know, children love him. Their babies are crazy about him. He's always been really good with babies. So babies are really good around him and everything. So before you label a young man, you may want to think about, you know, what you feel like you're protecting them from. Like I said, another one of those Jezebel stereotypes is the domineering black mother. You know, well, we're turning, you know, these single mamas is turning their son gay. I remember seeing this one meme and I thought, okay, this is horrible. And so it showed a black woman saying, I don't need no man. And, you know, of course, the man is leaving the home. A daughter saying something else about men, and a son saying, I don't want to be a man. And so I said, well, what about all the gay men who were raised in two-parent families that find out that they're gay? You know what I'm saying? You're blaming black. Once again, black women are being blamed and called Jezebel, and being blamed and being told that we're domineering. So why would somebody say that about Kamala Harris? Because women are not supposed to seek places of leadership, according to the spirit that called her a Jezebel spirit. Okay, because to be perfectly honest with you, labeling women as Jezebels very hastily, even though there's no biblical precedence for a Jezebel spirit, there's biblical precedence for the Queen Jezebel and for the false prophetess who they called Jezebel because she was like Jezebel. But there is no biblical reference for an actual spirit of Jezebel. You know, I think some guy just made that up just to be able to dominate women. So you have to really watch when you are listening to some of these teachings, because you have people calling women out of order. When I got called a Jezebel, it was because I wouldn't submit sexually to men that I'm not married to. Now, most people, if you've been around any time, you know that most born-again Christians, at least most born-again Christians, preach that we don't believe in sex outside of marriage. And many of us live it. I'm not going to act like the majority of people who preach it, I'm living it. And so to hear somebody, that's why I went hard after watching the Hillsong program. I went hard after the pastors who are involved in sexual misconduct. And you would be surprised at how often Jezebel is used to justify sexual misconduct. Basically, you know, calling women Jezebel, especially black women, nowadays is serving the same purpose that it served on the plantation. It's meant to, you know, because it's meant to, and I remember saying, well, why in the world? And the Holy Spirit said, it's meant to manipulate. It's meant to cater to your desire to be well thought of. So, you know, it's almost like, well, you don't want to be thought of as a Jezebel, do you? So if you don't want to be thought of as a Jezebel, you better submit to everything I'm asking you to do, even if it's sinful. Because if you don't submit, then I'll make sure that people think you're a Jezebel spirit. It serves the same purpose as production companies labeling actresses as difficult. So if you remember correctly, and when, ironically, this is another Will Smith reference, when actress Janet Huber met with Will, and she talked about being labeled as difficult. And she said, Being labeled as difficult is like the kiss of death for an actress, especially a black actress. And men use the difficult label the same way that men use the Jezebel label. It's another label that's meant to make you cooperate with stuff that you may not believe in, or make you or manipulate you into a lot of wrongdoing. When I hear men criticize women for being difficult or being Jezebel or whatever, I have a tendency to take it with a grain of salt, because I recognize that anytime a woman isn't willing to lay down and just be walked on, then yeah, you're going to be called difficult. You may even be called the B word. You will be called bossy for asserting any type of authority at all. And it's amazing the number of men who will teach young men to be insubordinate to women. If you've ever, I can remember years ago when I would ask a man to do something, and you would think that I was asking them to shoot their mother. And I'm like, what I'm asking for is like not even that much. It's a simple request. It's just the simple fact that you are a woman making the request. And I'm like, we're in 2022 and we still dealing with this mess, but we are. And this is why we can't give up fighting the good fight of faith when it comes to the whole issue of human rights, and when it comes to women's human rights. The right to be able to walk down the street safely, the right to be able to wear your hair. You know you're dealing with some serious issues when a person wearing their hair the way it grows out of their head is still an issue. And believe it or not, being called Jezebel is even meant to manipulate that. So calling women, you know, labeling black women as angry, combative, hard to get along with, like I said, do any of these criticisms sound familiar? Now, think about the black men who say they don't date us because of these issues. Even though, number one, all black women are not these issues. But let's just say there's stuff going on that give you a cause to be angry. The reason why I don't like especially the angry black woman stereotype, is because it's really another way to manipulate you out of asking for what you're due. Here lately, I've been going to a lot of restaurants with my mother. And so my mother makes requests that are, you would say my mother, if you wanted to use male, is rather picky. She's particular, let me put it that way. And so being particular and liking her stuff a particular way, many people may call that picky. But let me say this, if my mother is spending her money in an establishment, how many of you know, and you're the one who has to eat the food that you buy in this establishment, now, break it down that way. Think about the fact that you are exercising probably a third of your day at a job. Okay, a third of your day, which may as well be a third of your life, working to procure finances and be compensated for what you do. And out of that money that you are working to get, some of it is being spent to buy food. Now, my mother has a peculiarity in that she doesn't like condiments on her food. I know, it sounds strange, but she doesn't do ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, none of it. She likes her food without all that stuff on it, not even salad dressing. She just not a big condiment fan. And so it doesn't really make it difficult, because all you have to do is leave that stuff off, because she doesn't eat it. And I mean, she literally will not eat it. And so if you don't eat condiments and you go to a, you know, restaurant of any kind and you ask them to hold that back, is that really being difficult? Especially if you're the one who has to eat it. And, you know, listening, like, I got into the place anymore where I just let my mom tell them what she wants, because, you know, it's hard trying to break all that down and trying to give all those specific instructions, but still, you're the one who has to eat it. At the end of the day, you're paying for it, and you're the one who has to eat it. So if you have to eat it, if you have to ingest it, what if condiments make you sick? What if you're allergic to certain, many of you have food allergies. So what if you have food allergies? What if you're allergic to some of the stuff that they put on salads or on sandwiches or whatever? Does that still sound too picky or difficult then? Why should, you know, and especially if you have certain allergies that are life-threatening, like some people are allergic to nuts and they make them, you know, really, really stand out. So are you then supposed to ignore the fact that this is a life-threatening thing that you're ingesting and going to eat it anyway and take a chance on dying because somebody thinks that you're being difficult for asking for what you want? But one thing that this has taught me is that this has been a bit of a lesson. I'm dealing with this because, you know, you never know why somebody is asking for their stuff the way they want it. They could have allergies. There could be anything going on. One of the things that I learned being in customer service, especially being in the personal care industry doing hair, is that many times people have good reasons for why they want things the way they want them. It doesn't make them Jezebel. It doesn't make them picky, bossy, or combative. You don't know why that person is asking for it the way they're asking for it. And by them asking for it the way they're asking for it, they may, if you do it the way they want it, you could be saving a life. Okay, so that's something to remember, especially when you're talking about women, and especially when you're talking about Black women. You know, we may be asking for it because, you know, it may be the difference between life and death. So it's, like I said, it's something to think about. And so, you know, once again, so I'm starting to wind down here. This one's going to wrap up a little early because I think I have gone as far as I need to go with the whole Jezebel thing. If I feel the need to address it again, I will. Okay. But let's just remember, you know, this little history lesson. It is very racist. Very racist. It's racist even if Black men cooperate with it. Many times you have a lot of white people who don't want to admit something's racist, and they go, well, your own men, well, my own men are wrong. Okay, just because you hear a person who shares an ethnicity with a person saying certain things doesn't mean that that person is right. Many times people can share the same color as somebody and still be all the way wrong with what they're doing. So it's something to, like I said, once again, something to think about. So I'm gonna wrap this one up because, you know, I've gone, it hasn't been exhaustive, but if you need me to go into a little bit more exhaustive research on the whole Jezebel thing, if you want more information, just let me know. Wherever you're hearing this podcast, you can send me a message. I have a message link attached to the podcast. I also, you know, when I convert it to video, which I will be, you can also leave a message on any social media that you see the video on. And I will be posting these to WordPress. I have a few things. I got, you know, the last few podcasts I have to convert to video. They've already been converted to podcast. I also got a couple of blog entries that I have to do this evening, today as well. couple YouTubers I want to announce to my blog, to those who follow my blog, to talk about. Also, under the cause of Black women, want you to remember the YouTubers that are doing the work of talking about. A few of the true crime channels on YouTube that I follow, and I'm going to be mentioning them on my blog today, on the Lipstick Chronicles, do true crime that involves Black women, Black perpetrators, some of them Black perpetrators. I have to look at those, because I think that a few of the Black women that are on part of the divest movement. So the next thing I am going to talk about is the divest movement, and I'm going to keep that under Manosphere as well. I'm keeping it under Manosphere because the divest movement seems like it benefits mostly a lot of white guys and everything, but I am going to talk about the divest movement and why I will not be divesting and why I do not support it. So you said, well, Aunt Jeanette, you said you didn't have a problem with interracial marriage. I don't, but this is a little different than interracial marriage. And so the next podcast, I will be discussing the divest movement, and it will still be under the Manosphere. Because, like I said before, it seems to benefit a lot of white guys, number one. And most, what I said is the Manosphere is mostly a lot of white guys. The Manosphere can be dangerous because the Manosphere is where you find incels, MGTOWs, and different other men's rights people, pickup artists, and other man groups that are not all that safe for women. And so I'm looking at a program right now. Now, let me say this.
Maybe this will play.
Okay. Almost turned it up. So I'm looking at something right now under true crime called the Brentwood 5 Massacre. So I will have to come back to this because it looks like it's pretty good. It's under a channel called Truly Criminal. And so I'm kind of wondering how this is going to go because I'm looking at it, and I'll probably start looking at it while I upload all these videos and everything. So, but there's a lot of truth. First of all, so you've heard Black people talk about missing white woman syndrome, where missing white women tend to get a whole lot of national coverage, like the whole entire, community, the whole entire United States hears about it on the national news. But the same amount of women are missing that are missing women of color. And very seldom are we looked for as hard, or is it announced nationwide? And so I'm like, I don't have a problem with them posting white women national, but why not, talk about the missing Black women, missing Asian women, missing Native American women? Like, we get met with a whole lot of craziness too. So there's a few channels on YouTube that are dedicated to crimes against Black women. Like I said, one or two of them I'm kind of looking at because, like, if you're going to talk about crimes and talk about crimes against Black women that involve all colors of perpetrator, because part of the divest movement has been to portray Black men as making Black women meet their maker. All men, all colors, are sending women all colors to meet their maker, especially in the bounds of an intimate relationship. more women are being sent to meet their maker. More women are being sent to meet their maker by men that they are romantically involved with. So that's under manosphere as well. Okay, because some very misogynistic beliefs are being supported under the manosphere. So that's why I decided to do the manosphere under global feminism, because the manosphere is not just in this country. The manosphere is dangerous male thoughts that are aimed at women in every country. And you deserve to know that information, especially, you know, and as a feminist, I feel like it's my due diligence to talk about some of these mindsets that are being aimed at women. Some of these men have some very dangerous thoughts about us. And it makes it unsafe, it creates a hostile environment for us and for our daughters. You know, make things better for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that, but you want to make a better world for those young women that are coming up after us. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and get off here because I have work to do. In addition to my podcasting, I have work to do. I may jump on here and do another couple of podcasts later on this evening after I go and pick up the Queen Mother and, you know, run a few errands. You guys be blessed. Have a good Tuesday, and I will talk to you. I will see you in the next episode. That is me blowing you a goodbye kiss, and I will talk to you later.
Hello, you have reached the message line for Adam's Rib Media Ministry. If you would like to give me a shout out, recommend some topics for discussion, or give an opinion about a topic I've already discussed, either on my blogs or here on my podcast, leave a message and I will get back to you as soon as possible. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.